Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Welcome. Welcome back to another session of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. As everyone knows, today's lesson is going to be on Proverbs 31, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman. And in all honesty, I'll just shed a little bit of honesty here. How this particular passage came to my mind to talk about is from all the social media posts that I've been exposed to lately when I'm doing my research, and where women seem to have literally classified the definition of a good man. Some even have bullet points. He's this, that, the other, so forth and so on. What I noticed most of all is that the request seems to be for a man of God. The man of their dreams would be a man of God. Now, that's not quite defined, but nevertheless, a good man, there's bullet points, so I'm clear about what is classified as a good man. By a man of God, I'm just going to assume that they mean a man of godly attributes and character. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. So for this lesson, let's get a glimpse of how God defines a woman of noble character. I'm going to pick up on verse 10, and I'd like to quickly break down the verses so we can see what we can glean from some of the characteristics of the woman in question. I've only got 15 minutes. I'm actually going to read the scriptures and do my breakdown that way, and hopefully we can stay within our time limit. Verse 11 starts off with, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. When I studied for this lesson, I always go to commentaries. I go to my Bible, to the scriptures, obviously, and I go to my learning Bibles. In this particular case, on this one, I went to Matthew Henry because I always want to see what he sheds and what he gleaned from this. And I'm just going to quote to you what he said specifically about this one because it's kind of stuck in my mind. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Mr. Henry went on to say, she is very careful to recommend herself to her husband's esteem in her life, to know his mind, and is willing that he rule over her. Hold up. Don't jump me. That's what Matthew Henry said. That's what he got was the implication of what the scripture was saying. So as we read on further, we can see if perhaps he was spot on in his interpretation. This scripture, verse 11, also says that to me that he has confidence in her, and it must be due to her integrity. He feels that he lacks nothing. He's complete in the woman that he has, and I imagine that's a great feeling. verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And what I got from that is based off of everything from verse 10 to 31. Because of her commitment to their marriage, I'm assuming they were married, she's dedicated to the caring well-being of her husband. Now, let's be realistic and not over-spiritualize this verse, because knowing the heart of man, it's very difficult for me to assume that they never had a disagreement, there was never an argument, they never saw things differently. That's just the way of life. But I think the scripture is talking about through the duration of their time together. The Bible indicates that her character was intent on the good of her husband, and I'm interjecting, in spite of whatever differences may have occurred. So I remember someone wrote on Facebook once, a young lady, she says she'll know when the person that's for her soulmate is when someone who's mad at her and still willing to kiss and hug her. And I thought that was good because in spite of how you may feel, you still should have the love and the care and the admiration for your woman. So I thought that was good. And I think that this man may have fit a bill like that. In spite of everything, this woman, because of the character, I would assume too, of her husband, was all in. Verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing food from afar. She gets up while it is night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Now, there's a lot in that. But because I only have 9 minutes left, I'm going to expedite it a little bit. And in these verses, the Lord is obviously highlighting, among other things, the woman's eagerness to work with her hands, illustrating she makes clothing and she feeds her family and how she wakes up in the morning light. She's shown to have a kind heart. She's shown as generous to her servants. Verse 15 tells her, and she provides not only food for her family, but for her female servants. So she's a generous heart as well. And verse 16 implies that she's engaged in something that's generated earnings, as the Bible calls it, earnings that she uses to buy a property, a vineyard. Actually, I'm not sure what the purpose of the vineyard would be, whether she would obviously probably for some olives or some sort of something like that. I don't know whether she would press them and sell the oil or however it would be. But the woman who earned the money bought a field out of her earnings for something. I think if we read a little further, we might get a clue, but perhaps not. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I can get a little hype just by listening to this definition of this woman, because she's like, you know, like a 10, like a 10 bags of chips plus one. These verses even more thoroughly highlight the woman's entrepreneurial spirit. Her ambition seems to be toward the total care of her family. She works vigorously. She's trading that's profitable. She works till the midnight hours. I don't know what she's doing, but it says something about the distaff and the spindles, which is weaving, you know. She opens her arms to the poor and needy, which goes back to the generosity that's talked about in verse 15. This is a complete woman here, from my standpoint anyway. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes clothing for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. We're going to just go do a little Bible 101. Firstly, her being clothed in fine linen and purple is a sign of somebody of position. So slaves and servants didn't wear linen and purple. So that's number one. You remember they put linen on Jesus. So that's number one. Number two is, and this is a little exegesis letter when you break down the interpretations of things, because this is implied, but when the Bible's not, doesn't make mistakes. And I want to believe that after verse 22, when she makes the clothing for her bed and she's clothed in fine linen and purple, she's sharp. The next thing you see in verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. I want to believe there's a correlation, a connection between 22 and 23. The man is going up to the front gate. Not only is he respected for his character, because he's a judge, obviously, to be up there at the front gate. They were at the front gate, and the troubles of the people would come through, and people would, you know, profess what's going on in their lives to these judges, to these leaders, and these men would give them godly advice and so forth and so on. Her husband was one of those. But, again, right after 22, 23 says he's respected at the city gate where he takes a seat among the elders. I believe that her husband was just as sharp, just as clean as she was, and that was the work of her hands. Another thing that you can see here, she makes her family's clothing. She dresses again in fine linen and purple. Just for me, a woman that is this complete is almost scary in these days and times. But I don't even know if I could sustain it, to be honest with you. But it's wonderful to read, for sure. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. Verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, he says, but you suppress them all. Now I'm going to stop and interject from here. Let me check and see how much time I have left, because I have to make mention of this. When I think of this completeness of this woman, especially when I get to this part, verse 24 on to 29, there's a woman that I think about that has checked every box in my experience that God highlights in the Proverbs 31 woman. And it's wonderful, and I thank God for an opportunity to be able to actually know this woman. I won't call her name. But what I do know is that she's so complete in her character and her godliness that indeed her children do call her blessed. And she has the admiration and the support these days of her children, and it's because of the character and the strength and the dignity that she exudes. So we've learned here that Proverbs 31 woman is a good homemaker and businesswoman. She's not idle. Her children think well of her. Even early in the day, they speak well of her. Maybe perhaps in the mornings. We know that her husband displays affirmation for her ability to care for his family. He's literally told his wife that you do good, and I'm proud. So when I wrap all of these things up, what I started thinking when I more carefully is the character and the attributes of this woman in these days and times could easily be classified as the responsibilities of men today. But I think the Lord has painted an undisputable picture of the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman, as we like to call it. So, for those of the female Christian community, we have a vivid portrait of the characteristics of a woman that God considers good. So, gentlemen, we don't need to do bullet points. What we really need to do is look for the characters that are displayed in these scriptures, and then I think you can pretty well hit a bullseye or pretty close to it. So then, ladies, you can't quite live up to this standard, then don't use the term a good man to create an image of a man that doesn't either. Because you know what? God has high expectations for men and women alike. So I'm just hoping that this would be a lesson where instead of, you know, our hairs raising up on the back of our necks, that, you know, that men could take a look at this and use this as a barometer for a standard of women that you're interested in, and that women can look at the scripture and make sure that they fit as much of this bill as they possibly can for wherever they are in their lives, so that they can in turn be ready for the good man that they seek. So folks, until the next time, I love you. God bless you. And we'll talk to you next time.